B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. Our 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, we'll talk to Larry Boa coming up in a half hour, so we'll talk to Bo. I'm looking forward to that. Get his sense on the Philly schedule. In case you missed it, it looks like this, in case you haven't dissected it, because losers like the Tunis and I, well, we have dissected it all.
60-0.
Start off at home against the Marlins for 3, home against the Yankees for 2. That's going to be fun. Yanks.
Oh, that right away?
I love that.
I hate it when it's a 162-game season.
I love it.
But because of what's going on in the world,
Yankees,
Phil's man. Yanks right away.
We get them for 4 at home and home, 2-2, which is a lot of fun.
Love the home and home.
Then Toronto. I wonder what's going to happen with Toronto. Because there's all that talk about Canada and whether or not they can actually play in Canada.
Yeah, I know they're pushing to try to play. If not, they would play in Florida. And I remember reading an article a while ago. Bob Nightingale actually interviewed one of the people that's part of the schedule makers. And they said, we're going to make the schedule as if they're in Toronto. But if they're in Florida, you know, it's really not that bad because... it's everybody on the East Coast, right? It's not like the Angels are playing either in Toronto or playing in Florida. It's the Phillies are going to play either in Toronto or Florida. They'll make it work. I think they found a way to make the schedule just in case that does happen. But yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens.
So you would be at Toronto, wherever they are, for 3. And then you're at Miami for 3. Then you come home. You're in Atlanta for 4. The Braves for 4. Then the Orioles come in, so you can feast on some Orioles pitching.
You should be able to, yes.
For 3. Then you got the Mets at home for 3. So the big piece of your schedule from August 7th through August 16th, you're at home. So it's going to be key because... You know, you got 4 Atlanta, 3 Mets, and you can feast on Baltimore a little bit. Then you're at Boston. The Red Sox don't look to be that tough this year. Then there is a tough road. This is a tough schedule, though. You're at Boston, 2, at Atlanta, 3, at Washington, 3.
That's tough.
That is tough. Then you come back home, you get the Braves again for 3. There you see a lot of the Braves. You're going to see Washington again for 3 at home. A lot of the division, as you're saying.
And the crowd's going to be rocking. 4.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be rocking. CBP.
It's going to be weird.
It will be weird. I'm a proponent of piping in the crowd noise. Then you got then you're at the Mets. And this is September's going to be tough because then you're at the Mets for 4. Home Boston twice. You're at Miami for 4, okay. Back home against the Mets for 3. Home Toronto, 3. And then, like we discussed, you end the season. And again, everybody's going to be in except for the really bad teams.
Right. The Marlins of the world, the Tigers of the world.
The Blue Jays the Orioles.
Orioles, yeah.
So the last 6 on the road, tough opponents. At Washington, and, you know, you're going to have the Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, and then at Tampa. Tampa's a really good young team.
Yep. Yes, they are, and they have a nice pitching staff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Boy, I hope
as
they
long
can
as they're
play.
Competitive. If they're not competitive, obviously it's going to be a wash. But if they're competitive and they're in the thick of things all 60 games, oh, my God, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I don't think people are prepared for it yet.
No.
Because we're so focused on Sixers Flyers playoffs. Rightfully so. But I don't think people are going to be prepared that after 20 games, which will be like 22 days because there's only 5 days off throughout the season, after 20 days of baseball, you're going to be like, oh my God, the Phils are two up and there's only 40 games left. I don't think people are ready for that yet. It's going to be an all-out sprint to game 60 for a lot of teams.
I know. And it's going to keep everybody in, and it's going to be a lot of fun. If there's any way that we can get sports and keep sports back, can you imagine that we could get NHL, NBA, and MLB in three rollicking months?
Yeah. And we're going to be like exhausted, wiping the sweat off our brows. And it's like, oh, wait, the Eagles are playing Sunday.
Yeah.
Got Eagles Cowboys this weekend.
We can only hope that that's the case. Let's get back to the phone lines. Lindsay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Linz.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. I can't complain. Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on what you guys are talking about with Deshaun and all that.
Yeah.
I kind of heard what you were saying, Ant, you got to come back. I'm kind of like around Deshaun's age, and I heard how you were feeling about him and all that. So I'm like, I thought about it like this. To me, it's possible that he could have had, or he has articulation issues as far as expressing how he really wants to project what he was trying to do. Because I actually tried to look at the post to see what he tweeted out.
I have it in front of me. I can read it to you. Did you look at it?
Yeah, I looked at it, and I saw Hitler said or whatever. Like, I feel like he could have, if his premise was pointing out that this was something dumb that Hitler said or how ridiculous is this, then he should have probably bet with that a statement like that, like, how ridiculous is this, and then posted, like, Hitler put something like this. Because it seemed like he was reading something, or he could have been reading something.
Yeah, I agree. I
something and was just like, damn, look at this. Like, and I mean, this is crazy with all of this is going
see,
on.
See, the problem, here's the problem. I feel you, brother. Linz, I feel I would love to give him the benefit of the doubt. I just don't know how you post this. This is hate.
Right, and I feel you on this the whole the times of everything that's going on right now, and just being dumb as far as why would you do that right now? Like, what is the point?
Well, why would you ever do it? Right, why would you ever espouse any kind of hatred and quote Hitler? Right, like, why would you ever do that? Even though he misquoted, but go ahead.
No, I just feel like it's. I guess the context of what he's of where it's coming from, you know what I'm saying? Because like he hasn't come out and said anything in defense of what his position on it was. He just said that I don't feel.
Listen, if that's the case, you're doing some backflips for him. But if that's the case, then whatever. But understand. Like there's a lot
like with Riley Cooper. Like to me, it's not really a comparison because it was. Riley Cooper, what he did was something that he was in a situation where he reacted and used verbiage that was totally,
hateful.
Right. To me, this is kind of different because it's not like he saw something or something happened and then he posted this as in defense or something like that. It's just something that he could have been reading and like came across it and then posted. It's just dumb. Like I agree that it's dumb because to me, because he didn't put anything of substance with it as far as what his position or his
I hear you. I hear you, Lindsay. I don't know him like that. You know what I mean?
And all that, like,
yeah.
4 for 4, all of that. I mean, you see, I couldn't stand when Chip Kelly got Deshaun Jackson out of there the first time. So to me, it's like, all right, well, when you brought up Jeffrey Lurie, if you're Jeffrey Lurie and all that, to me, I'm going to call D-Jack myself if I'm Jeff. I'm like, yo, what's your position? Like, what is this about?
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, I would be, you're right. You pick up the phone and I want to hear what are you talking about? You know?
Right. And just get it from the horse's mouth straight up. And because of what's going on and everything that's going on, I feel like they should come out together and have press.
Here's the problem, right? When you post it like this, you're saying that this is what you believe. Right? That's anytime you know social media, anytime you put a post out, it's something that you believe, unless you say, well, this is, you preface it with a disclaimer. Right. And there was no, I mean, you know, listen, for the sake of another human being, I hope you're right, but I'll be honest, I'm dubious, man.
Me being as a black man and knowing how I think DeSean Jackson would think about certain things, and you know what I mean, as far as being a certain age and all that, that's just where I'm coming from with it. Like, all right, maybe he just didn't understand, like, how to articulate to an extent.
I get you.
Or just posted it just to say, you know what I mean, but not realizing how easily it is for people to just look at something and run with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I hear you. Please, you know,
We got to be smarter.
I want you to be safe, all right, brother? Be safe out there. All right, bud. See you later. Take it easy. Derek, West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, D.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you feeling?
Good, good. Yourself?
Good.
Hey, I don't mean to come on and be a cynic or be a critic, but I just think you're going a little bit overboard with the DeSean Jackson thing, and I just want to just explain it because I don't want to have any hard feelings or anything like that. But, you know, I'm about your age. I'm 52. I grew up in Philly. I was bused out to, you know, schools where we only had, you know, two black boys, two black girls, you know, in the class. So we've had to hear, like, slick stuff being said about us. We've had to write, you know, papers about the great things Columbus did. And during the Civil War, maybe we had to write a paper on, like, Ulysses Grant or Sherman or somebody like
right.
that. So, you know, we've had to do that stuff. We've had to, you know, even though we enjoyed it, we had Columbus Day. We were driving on Columbus Boulevard. I served 20 years in the military. I was stationed at Fort Hood, Fort Bragg. So, and I've had to study these generals and write papers for, you know, professional development, you know, for this. So it's always been thrown up in our face, and we've just accepted it. And I think DeSean Jackson didn't know what he was doing, especially since he retweeted it again. I really don't think he knew what he was doing. And that's why I'm saying, you know, sometimes we just got to, you know, bite the bullet and say, just like, you know, we've been doing for years, and just say, look, this guy messed up. I'm not excusing what he did. We need to tell him that, you know, what he did was messed up. But don't just condemn him and say, hey, look, man, you're a hateful person. And, you know, one shot, one kill, that's it. You ruined
listen,
your...
Listen, I'll tell you one thing. Listen, I'm someone that I would give people plenty of chances, right? I can only react to... this I haven't like I wake up this morning and I see this. Hitler said because the white Jews know the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep America's secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were. And I go, what are you doing? And I can only react to that. I'm not listen. I'm about unity. Right? Like, I feel you. And in the same way, over the whole month of all this stuff, I go, it's not right. The oppression that African Americans have suffered is not right.
I agree. And I don't think what he said is, I think what he said is completely wrong. But I just really think that.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope the guy, listen, I never want to feel ill will about someone. But Riley Cooper was a creep.
Yes.
Right, you got some people who play sports that are creeps. I think a lot of athletes are great people. I'm not casting a judgment right or wrong, but Riley Cooper, in my eyes, was a creep. Right?
I agree 100%.
So difference?
I just think that, like the caller before said, Riley Cooper was reacting to something that happened to him. I think DeSean Jackson may have been reading and found like found like something that he said, hey, this just touched me in a certain way and thought it would touch others in that way also, and it just wasn't a good choice.
And I'm not condemning the man. I'm just telling you, I think what he posted was heinous, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not of the Jewish faith, but I will not stand here to have any sect, any community be offended that way. It's not right. I like to, again... You know, the minute I stop caring about other people is the minute I shouldn't be on the air.
True. But and I would just like to close with this.
Sure.
It's after, you know, this past month of all the protesting and everything, everything's going to go back to the same for us. I know, and I appreciate that you don't think it will. And
well, I'm praying to God that it won't. How about that? I pray that it won't.
It was my birthday this past week, and I had a friend over. He's a policeman. He's a black policeman. And he said the same thing. Oh, well, you know, you guys are saying this. What are you going to do if somebody tries to break your house? You're going to call the police, right? And everybody in there said no, because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us, because we still see it happening. So hopefully you're right. Hopefully things will change.
Well, again, I'm only praying that stuff. Right. Again, I don't know if I'm going to be right or wrong. I'm just hoping for the sake of our society that we get a grip on this. That's all.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
What a pleasure.
All right.
Derek, be careful, all right?
You too.
See you, buddy. Let's go to C.D. Dan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. C.D. Dan.
Yeah, what's going on, Ant?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. This is everything. All of it. It's just so exhausting. I don't know. You touched about it in your monologue. And it's something every day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And obviously this has to be touched on, this issue with Deshaun. But it's just like you wake up and you're looking forward to just come through about your day, just regular day, and it's something every damn day. It's like crazy. But listening yesterday, I was happy to hear when you had Chris Heck on say something about us getting together. It's going to be better than the beach party we're playing at. So
how about that?
Yeah, that's awesome. So maybe we'll have some information on that. And, you know, maybe when the sports start up, dude, things are still going to happen. But maybe it does bring people together again. And, you know, all you can do is be optimistic and try to hope things are just a little different. It just gets tiresome. And I don't want to explain it. Like, I feel like I'm walking through a fog because you still don't have time to react to yesterday's news before something comes out today. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a lot, honestly.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
And I mean, that's pretty much all I got for you today.
No, listen, I mean, it is. It is a lot, and that's why.
Yeah, and then Chris, the comments with Chris Heck yesterday, kind of keeping my optimism up, because, that's going to be a good thing, dude. When they get people together and they can do it safely, I think it's really going to be a good thing for all of us.
I'm hoping, man. I really am. I'm hoping.
Yeah, don't hope. Just know it's going to happen. We'll have a good time and just keep that mindset.
Because we need something to look forward to, right? We need some fun to look forward to, some goodness to look forward to.
I need anything.
Yeah.
I got golf every week, and I like that. I go golf and cause I can get cheap deals, but I need something where, you know, you can get the people together and socialize without having debates, you know, just hang out.
That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Good stuff, C.D. Dan. Thank you, my brother. Be safe. Ron and Marcus Hook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ronnie, how are you? Ronnie's not there. How about Chris in North Wales? Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, long time.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now, buddy.
Yeah, long time. Listener, first time caller.
Welcome.
I just
know
my little 2 cents on the whole.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Chocolate?
Yes, my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm a little just disappointed. I think he needs a little bit more wisdom. First, the quote is not even a Hillary quote.
I know.
Yeah, so I'm a little disappointed. And two, when you, this kind of topic cannot fully be unpacked in
a social media post. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where my disappointment comes in. Like, this is has so many layers, so many dimensions to this, whether it be philosophical thought or even, you know, basic biblical principles. It's too much to unpack. So you need to have some wisdom. And I guess my expectation, you got to be sober and alert of what's going on right now to know that right now this caused more confusion. You know what I'm saying? And you could present your thought process or your own personal philosophy in a different manner. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. So I just thought it was a little disappointing. Yeah. The DJ needs a little bit more wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, a lot of people want to run with it. Now, you can definitely decipher or execute the text and, you know, come to your own conclusion where you believe it's anti-Semitic or not. But there's very various levels. Like I said, going all the way back to the children of Abraham, Israel versus Ishmael versus Israel. So it's a lot, but you need to have wisdom, especially in times being so volatile and everything such emotionally charged.
Yes.
You got to be smarter, dude. You got to be smarter.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know. Listen, I said earlier I was being flippant, but there's some truth to it, which is I disagree with the idea to shut up and dribble, but that not everybody should espouse their
exactly.
What
they're thinking. Yeah, you got to know your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah,
in a sense, you know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Chris.
Like
exactly.
You know, people who study this topic, you know, go with dissertations for doctoral studies.
Right.
So you're not going to even, you know, right. And 150 characters really try to convey whatever side you're on the fence of this. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to use wisdom, bro. Like, just use a little bit more wisdom. Yeah. Okay, that was all, man.
Yeah, I hear you, Chris. Listen, be safe, all right, babe?
You too as well,
thanks. Thanks, buddy. Take it easy. So, coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk to Larry Boa. Andrew.
I'm watching right now on my, on the internet here. On YouTube. Mitch Williams slapping a single.
That's going to be fun to play back.
I can't wait.
I know. That's going to be great.
There is one unfortunate side of it.
Yes.
Howard didn't do the game.
Oh, no!
Remember once in a while he would redo things?
Harry didn't do the game?
So I have his final call, so we will hear Harry today. But it was a Wheels and Whitey show.
Whitey was on the call.
Yeah.
And Wheels.
Yep.
That's
I guess
pretty cool.
I guess Harry's contract after 2 a.m, he didn't have to call games anymore.
Do we have the early part of the game, and then we're going to go through, how's it work?
I'll have the final out of game one, where they announced the rain delay, how long it was, final score, all that stuff, and then it'll jump into game two.
And then we'll take you all the way to 4:41 in the morning.
Correct.
Which is a great, no, that's a great Quizzo question.
Yes, it is.
4:41.
Damn right it
what
is.
What time did that epic game end?
It's great, because I got stuff.
Eastern time.
I got stuff outside of the game, too, just them talking about, like, oh my, like, you know, the fans are still, they're still here and the fans are still going nuts. And because there are so few people, like there's still like 6,000-7,000 people.
Yeah.
But because it was 6,000-7,000 people and because it was Veterans Stadium, the voices really echoed. So when there were boos, oh, you could hear them. I had to cut out a few things.
Did you really?
Because you could hear it.
You could hear
it? That ball was bull. Bleep.
Oh, my God. That's
I was like,
awesome.
Okay.
Nothing better than that kind of crowd.
Good thing I was paying
that
attention.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Woo! All right, 11:28. And in addition to the Mahomes contract, yes, the Deshaun stuff, but to the sports stuff, which is the Patrick Mahomes contract, which is a real interesting conversation to have when it comes to franchise quarterbacks and trying to build a team with them. We got baseball coming back. Now, the schedule being out is exciting. Like, I love the schedule. I love it. And I'm looking at this whole thing and I'm really getting excited. I'm hoping, praying that we can get through this thing. Now, we saw what happened in the bubble down in Disney with the Dallas team in the MLS, they basically withdrew because they've had mass positive tests. So I'm just going to go at it and hope that we can play. And we can play some baseball. So to do that, I want to dive into it with one of the greats. That's right. One of the all-time baseball treasures of Philadelphia. The great Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bo!
What's up, cuz?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
Great. I got excited because I saw the schedule come out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I started to think, well, you know what? Maybe we get to play. And if we get to play, it's going to be a fascinating 60-game sprint, Bo, of something we've never seen before.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, in my opinion, because I think the team that has the best bullpen is going to get in the playoffs. It's, I don't think you can rely on the starters early, the first two or three starts to go deep. So you got to have some depth down there. And, you know, and obviously the team that stays away from these positive tests are going to have a definite advantage. But I just hope we can start it because, you know, watching what's happening every day, the spikes in certain areas, you know, I just keep my fingers crossed that we do start up at the end of July.
I know. Hey, sometimes we have a guest on and I get excited, especially when I said something and he somebody we all respect says basically says the same thing, Andrew, about the bullpen, because the bullpen's going to be key. So you just made my day because I had said the same thing earlier. I really appreciate that. It's going to be interesting for the Phils, and I don't know about you. When I look at this team, like I start to really like the lineup a lot. I think our lineup is really taking shape. And I love me some real Muto, man. I love that kid.
Right. You know, I was down, I was in uniform all the way till we had to break camp down there. I really liked what I saw in spring training. And I don't overreact to a lot of wins and losses in spring training, but the way they played and the intensity they played with, I was really impressed. And hopefully they can carry that when we start up at the end of July, because I think this team, as you said, the offense, I think we're going to score a lot of runs. I really do. And the key is going to be our bullpen. I like our pitching. I like our starting pitching, but obviously they're not going to be stretched out. But the whole key is who tests positive, because from what I understand, this is just, I heard it from a second source, that if you do test positive, then you have to sit out for, I think, a week. And then you have to have two good tests. And if you don't have two good tests, you have to sit out another week. So it's going to be important that we stay away from those guys missing 3 weeks, especially pitchers, starting pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to really hurt whatever team has to go through that adversity. But, I don't know. See, maybe we got out of our system down there in Clearwater. We had a few people test positive and, everyone was concerned about Nola because he wasn't out there, but I guess he was with somebody that tested positive and he had to be basically quarantined for a week. So hopefully he's okay, and it sounds like he is.
Yeah, thank God. And you know, again, obviously health is the primary focus. And then, you know, if Lord willing we can play,
right,
it would be awesome. What would be so interesting is the fact there's only 5 off days. Hey, yeah, man, talk about a grind playing 60 and 65 days. I'm sure at some point you probably had a stretch like that with a couple doubleheaders, but yeah, that is a grind, 60 and 65.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the weather, what we've had so far, and it's going to be hot the rest of the summer, and that takes a lot out of you also. But I think these guys are going to be well-rested, obviously. They haven't played. So, and with the extra guy, they're going to start off with 30. And eventually they'll get down to 26. But the DH is going to definitely help because you'll be able to, a guy like Realmuto, you can let him DH a game or two in a row and let him get off his feet and just hit. You can rotate guys. So I think they'll stay fresh. And Joe, I think, is going to do a great job. You know, his big assets handling the bullpen, which I think is going to be important, as we talked about earlier. But he has, you know, I talked with him in spring training. He likes definite roles, defined roles down there, which I think is great.
Thank God.
So, you know, the first 5 innings, if you're not called and you know you're a long man, after the 5th inning, you might want to relax a little bit. From the 6th inning on, there's 2 or 3 guys that, hey, they know if that phone rings, they're going to be up. So I like that part of it. And Joe's definitely good at handling relief bullpens and not getting guys too tired too early. So I think he's going to do a good job. I thought he did a good job in spring training. And Brian Price, I think I have a lot of respect for him as a pitching coach. So I'm looking for some big things. And if this thing does get underway and goes the full 60, I'd be shocked if we didn't get in the playoffs. I really would. Even though the East in the National League and the American League are two toughest divisions, I do think that we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're talking to the great Larry Bowa on the Comcast Business Hotline. I'm thinking along your lines, and I think once guys get stretched out, I mean, I think this rotation really has a chance. Right. And I'm curious about Arrieta. I think that could actually help him. All that rest might be able to get his good little life in that arm as well.
Well, you know, the big thing, Ant, is you know, when guys are playing on the last year of their contract, for some reason there's another gear. And obviously, this is his third year. So, and I know he still wants to play. So, you know, I expect him to do some good things down there. I thought he threw the ball pretty good in spring training. His last outing wasn't really good, but the previous outings were good. And I expect him to do what we're expecting him to do. I think he's going to live up to expectations this year. And as you said, he's well rested, and I'm looking for some good things out of him.
Hey, what do you think of? I'm curious about your eyes and what you saw out of Spencer Howard. What do you think of him?
Well, barring injury, this guy's the real deal. Yeah, this guy, he's got everything going. Good breaking ball, good poise, good command. The ball jumps on you real quick. It gives you that nice, easy motion, and the ball's on top of you. It's got late life. Barring any injuries, he's a top of the rotation guy. I'm not saying he's a one, but he's a one or a two. I mean, a two or 2A.
Yeah.
You put him up there with Nola and Wheeler, you know, when you start to see the regular season, those are three pretty good arms that you're going to get thrown at you right out of the gate. And he's a good kid. He's got a great work ethic. And because of the situation that happened, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of him in these 60 games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that kid. And the other one I'm looking at, I'm curious what your eyes told you about Bohm.
Bohm yeah. Can hit. I'm going to tell you, this guy can hit. He's got a great – you usually don't see college kids come out of college with a good two-strike approach. This guy literally, he hates striking out, which I love. I talked to him. He hits the ball the other way very well. He's got power to all fields. Obviously, the question mark is, where's he going to play?
Yeah.
I will say this, Ant. Oh, I saw him in college because I scouted him before the draft. I didn't think there was any way this guy could play third. He's definitely improved. There's no question about that. And he likes to work. You know, if it's a perfect world, he probably could use a little more reps at third base, but I really like him. He's a disciplined hitter for a young kid. And, like I said, those two guys, Howard and Bohm, are two good prospects that most of our fans should keep an eye on because they're going to be pretty good players.
Yeah, I'm getting a sense of when I'm looking at the development of this team. I'm real excited. I think you know, there's a real good chance that, and you know this better than anybody, that there's always a corner, right? And right. Once you turn that corner, there's like an ascent. And, right. And I can see with Girardi in place,
right.
I with the talent that's here, I can see this thing kind of shooting up, right?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it sort of reminds me with Bohm and Howard, you know, the young guys and Kingery and Hoskins. It seems like, you know, when we first came up in the early 70s, we got beat up a little bit. And then we hit, like you said, we hit a groove about 75, and we were a pretty good baseball team. And I sort of envision this team to do that. When you have some guys that you can count on, like two mainstays like Bohm and Howard, and I really believe Kingery playing one position is going to really help him. You know, obviously,
yeah.
He's get over this positive test. I don't know how serious it is. Obviously, it seems like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, but I really like, you know, this kid. He plays the game the right way. And Haas, I'm looking for him to bounce back. I really am. He changed his stance a little bit in spring training. I thought there were some positive things coming out of spring, the way he was swinging the bat. So, you know, with that and obviously Hart in right field and Kutch being 100% and Realmuto, you got a pretty deep lineup. And
yeah.
And there's depth to it as far as you get down to 7-8 hitters. You're going to have tough outs down at the bottom of that lineup.
Yeah, I'm excited because with the DH – you
yeah.
know, the guy like Bruce.
Bruce is a good, yeah, he'd be a good one.
You know, I mean, and it gives you some good left-handed pop. You already got
yep.
Harp there. So
yep.
I'm real excited about that piece. And listen, you got DT's got, you know, he's still got pop in his bat.
Hey, I love Dee Dee. I know he only got two or three hits in spring training. He's got a great attitude. He brings a lot of energy to the park every day. He can still play short at a high level. You know, the thing you were talking about, the DH, you can also get McCutcheon off his legs,
yeah,
you know, and let him DH. You can put Bruce in left field. You got a lot of maneuverability. You got Quinn, who can play all three outfield positions. You got Haseley. There's a lot of depth on this team. And again, I know we're in a tough division, but I think the one thing we got to do, cuz, is the first three games of the year, we got to establish being able to beat a team like Miami.
Yes!
The last 2 years, this team beat us.
Yes!
I'm looking at that lineup and I'm going, why is this happening?
Yes!
So hopefully we get out of the gate here and win the first three games, because I know they've got some young kids, but they shouldn't be able to compete with us. You know, if we're healthy, we should be able to handle that team.
I was saying earlier, too, we got 10 against the Marlins, all right? I want 7 right. and 3 is
That'd
my goal, all right?
Well, we had 19 against them the last 2 years, and I said if we can win 12 or 13, and we don't even win 10 against them. So we got to make sure that we bring it to when we're playing those real easy teams. I don't say easy teams.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. Teams that are young, you got to take advantage of them and beat them.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we're talking to the great Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline. And, Boa, one of the things we do is we do, during this whole pandemic, we've been playing playbacks of games in the past, like notable games with the Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, and, of course, the Phils.
Right.
And today's playback is the game that ended 4:41 in the morning.
I was coaching third.
Yes!
Mitch Williams got a big hit. and it rained, and he hit a ball in the gap, and I think Inky was on first, and I'm going, please get by this outfielder, because it's going to take another hit to score Inky, but it got by, hit on that wet turf, and that's a game that, man, I'll tell you what, that's one for the ages. And Mitch always talked about hitting, and he said, I can hit, and I guess we ran out of players. I'm sure we did, and Pergo's put him up there, and he got a base hit.
What was that whole, like, what was that like? There had to be some great stories come out of that game.
Oh, it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think we had a day game the next day.
Yes.
And you know, guys were saying, I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going home. But it was a trip, because it was, you know what? The other thing people don't look at, we were scuffling at that time. We had lost like 7 out of 10, and St. Louis was making a move on us. We just lost 3 out of 4 to St. Louis in St. Louis. And we lost the first game of that doubleheader. And that was a big game for us. And you know, sort of kickstarted us again, back to where we wanted to be. But, that was a fun team to be around.
Oh, man. Some of the great stories. I remember, when I was doing a piece about the vet, and I don't know if it was Crocky or somebody was talking about playing wiffle ball all night. Like, they'd stay over and they would play wiffle ball with the Cubbies all night long, which I love that. I think that's the greatest thing ever.
Well, that group there, I mean, it just a regular game, because Vuk was one of our coaches too. And, you know, we're baseball lifers. And after games, I can remember us, the game ended at 10 o'clock. We'd still be in there at 12:30, 1 o'clock talking baseball. And it was just a different feel, because most of those guys were towards the end of their career. Nobody predicted that we would get into the playoffs, let alone the World Series. And it was a fun group to be around. They came and they brought it every night, and it's just a shame we came up a little bit short, but we went a lot farther than a lot of people thought we were going to do.
It was so much fun. One of the great things I've always loved, and I still like to do it, is talking about the game, like sitting around having a beer and just talking about the game. Like, there's nothing better than sitting around talking about what just happened.
And you know what, Ant? You get good constructive criticism when you're after the game and guys are just relaxed a little bit, and the guys say, what were you doing on that play? But, you know, we took it as constructive criticism, and we respected one another. And back then, there were so many ways to win baseball games, not just home runs. You could hit and run. You could steal. You could squeeze. You can make great plays. It was baseball at its purest. And I think sometimes we're getting caught up with the home run. It's either a home run, a strikeout, or a walk. There's not a lot of strategy anymore. Pitchers throw up in the zone and hitters chase because of the launch angle swing. We need to get back to the grassroots, because I think these athletes are really good.
Yes.
And I think if they were able to show some of the other skills, people would appreciate a little bit more. But I'll be the first to tell you, there's some times I get a little bit bored watching because you almost predict what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And but I think if you let these guys do some things, you know, everyone thinks, well, the percentage is say you can't hit and run because he's not going to put it in play. Well, people don't understand that if you put a hit and run on, I remember us put hit and runs on with Mike Schmidt, the greatest player ever to put on a Philly uniform because he was in a funk and he would concentrate a little bit, stay on the ball a little bit longer, and maybe one or two times he'd get a hit, then he'd just go off and get hot. But you should be able to do that stuff. And if we did it with Mike Schmidt, we should be able to do it with a lot of people.
Yes. See, here's the thing, Bo. Like, listen, I understand analytics, analytics have been part of baseball forever, right?
Forever.
I mean, this thing is not new.
No.
I think it's a manipulation of
they
using,
worded different.
Yes.
They worded different. Everything. We had shifts. We had where we were going to play. We had what pitchers throw when the count's one and two. We had all that information. The fact is, they use different verbiage now, and now it's people think they're reinventing the game. They're not. We did a lot of that stuff.
I don't understand it.
I scratch my head when I hear people, oh, well, they didn't do it. Well, we did do all that.
Yes.
We did a lot of that stuff. I'll tell you one thing we didn't do. We didn't have a launch angle because you didn't need a launch angle. We didn't have exit velocity. When you're a hitter and you hit a line drive, you know you hit it good. You don't need a machine to say, wow, he hit that ball 102 miles an hour.
Right.
I mean, it's just, give players credit. You know, they don't want to get, for some reason, I don't know, I don't get that part of it.
Listen, there's some things like, I'm not a big believer in sacrificing all the time and bunting all the time. Like, I understand.
Right.
You know, you want to put the ball in play a little bit. But something like you just said, a hit behind runners.
Right.
Everything. See, here's the problem. When it becomes a religion, when numbers become a religion, is when it gets distorted. Right?
Like, right.
When you need to scratch home a run, you need to hit behind runners. You need to shorten your swing.
No question. And you know what? I believe exactly what you said about, am I going to bunt in the first inning? Probably not. But if I get Aaron Nolan pitching against Scherzer, and I know the score is going to be 2-1, and the first two guys get on in the first inning off Scherzer, I'm going to try to bunt them over and get a couple runs for Nola because I know there's not going to be a lot of scoring. So if I can get one or two runs early for my best pitcher, I got a good chance of winning. And would I do it with any other pitcher? Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
It's circumstance.
It also matters who you're playing against,
yes,
who the pitcher is. You're not going to get four hits in an inning off those real good pitchers. So you got to scrap some runs out. You got to get a run here, a run there. And like you said, hit and run, hitting behind the runner. Man on second, no outs. Hit a ground ball to the right side. For a guy like Harper coming up, let him hit a fly ball, you get a run. There's so many ways to win baseball games, and yet we just keep relying on the home run and or the strikeout or the walk. And that's the part I think if we let the players play and let them feel
totally
that they can, you know, let them do some things. Let them experiment a little bit and say, hey, I can hit and run. I put this thing in play. Two strikes approach. Those are gone right now.
That's unbelievable.
I mean,
it's right.
When the count's 0-2 or 1-2, you're a little bit defensive up there. When it's 2-0 or 3-1, you're on the offense a little bit. But that's a game of adjustments. And I think that's where we're getting away from. It's not all etched in stone. This is the way we're going to do it today because the book says we're doing it that way. You got to have a feel, and I think that's why Joe's going to be great.
Yes.
He's going to use both the analytics and his gut, and obviously he's been successful in New York. So I think that'll be a big plus for our team.
And here's something that's not quantifiable, right? It's what you just brought up. It's Nola Scherzer. And if you get those two runs home or one run home for Nola, he's pitching differently than he would without a lead. And you know better than anybody. If Nola's got a two-run lead, he's free, feels good, he's confident, and he's going to pitch differently than he would in a 0-0 game.
No question. And he knows out there that if he's got a two-run lead, he might be able to make a mistake in the sixth or seventh inning with nobody on. And a guy hits a home run off him, he's still winning 2-1. Go back to when Carlton in 72, when we had that, we didn't have a good team. What did he win, 27, 28?
27, yeah.
But you know what, Ant? Every time he came in the clubhouse, we were still very young. We knew as a team, if we got one or two runs, we could win this game. And because we didn't have a real good offense at that time. We were all young kids. But we knew if Carlton got one or two runs, we have a chance. Because everyone says, how'd you guys, how did Carlton do that? Well, he'd walk in and say, today's win day, boys. Do whatever you have to do to get in the run or two. And everyone says, okay, you got it, Lefty. You got it. You know? But, I mean, little things like that, you know, when your big guy's going, you don't need to score five runs. He's going to go out there, and he's going to shut the other team down. So get one or two early. That means they got to get two or three. And they don't give up those many runs, those real good pitchers.
Yeah. Bo, that's just awesome. What a great! I could talk ball with you all day long. You're the greatest. Let's just do me a favor and just be safe. All right.
I will. Yeah, you too. And let's keep our fingers crossed that this thing eases off a bit and we can get the 60 games in.
I would love it. I love it. Oh, thanks, Bo. You're the best.
Have a great one. Take care.
See you, brother. The best, Larry Boa on the Comcast Business Hotline, talking baseball. Chunas, I know you had to love that.
Yeah. I miss hearing him speak. I miss just baseball talk, period. But when Larry talks about it, it's just different.
Yeah, right? And listen to the sentiment. This is not, again, old guy talking, you know, old ways. This is the legitimate points. See, that's the problem sometimes, is that, you know, we think because, you know, you might be against the religion of analytics that, oh, well, you know, you're a caveman.
Right.
That's not the case. And there are things that you can't quantify with numbers. And it just went through it. The example of how Aaron Nola pitches with a lead is something that numbers can't quantify.
Yes, numbers can't quantify. And I always use this example. Numbers can't quantify the mentality of a pitcher in the eighth inning or the ninth inning. There are some guys that are made to pitch in the ninth inning. There are some guys that aren't made to pitch in the ninth inning. But there are some managers like Gabe Kapler that go, well, the batters that are coming up in the ninth, this pitcher has had good success against them. So you know what? I'm going to use him in the ninth. And that may be true. The numbers may be good. But then he steps on the mound and it's the ninth inning. It's a one-run ball game. He's going in there for the save. All of a sudden, there's a different type of pressure.
Yes.
Numbers go out the window. It's different in the ninth inning as it is different in the first inning. As it's different, like a long reliever doesn't like pitching in the third inning. They're not ready for it. They're not used to pitching in the third. They're used to maybe pitching in the fifth so they can give you 2-3 innings. Same with a starting pitcher. When games go in extra innings and you have to use a starter in the 14th inning, they're not ready. They're not that used to it. They're used to having those 2 hours before a game to get ready. All of a sudden in the 14th inning, they're like, hey, by the way, we need you to warm up. It's all different. Numbers don't give you that kind of stuff.
Right. Right. All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Bo. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.